Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
God gave me a Ferrari because I am a Ferrari. You're a Ferrari too.
When God made you, He had all the options put on. You are fully loaded and totally equipped.
So do this with me.
Where did we ever come up with the style of preaching we have today? There is some entertaining preaching, but not convicting preaching, and the legacy has been tragic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hello, this is Wretched Radio, and it is Witness Wednesday. I am at Georgia Tech University. Okay, there's a guy walking toward me. He's a pretty young kid, but I'm going to have to talk him out of putting his earphones on. Hey, dude, could I talk to you while you're walking for just a moment?
Sure.
Sure. What are you listening to?
Soundtrack.
To?
The Bourne Ultimatum.
You're the guy who buys that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Really? And why did you pick that?
It all depends on what mood I'm in. If I'm in the mood for something to calm me down or something to get me pumped, then I...
And what are you looking for today?
Well, I just got out of a test, so I'm kind of getting something intense to get me pumped for the next one tomorrow.
Uh-huh. So you're starting today for the test tomorrow.
Yeah.
How'd you do on the test?
I think I did pretty well.
Yeah? Did you cheat?
Nope.
Attaboy. Good. Do you think it's wrong to cheat?
Oh, yeah.
How come?
Well, I mean, you're putting yourself in an advantage above others.
Okay. How's about stealing? Wouldn't it be stealing?
But yeah, if you're cheating, it would be
stealing. You're stealing somebody's stuff, yeah. Right? Do you think stealing is wrong?
Yeah.
How do you know?
Just the morals that I've been instilled since birth.
All right. So here's a scenario for you. Somebody's cheating on their test, right? Mm-hmm. Doesn't hurt anybody. Is it really stealing?
Yeah, because you're setting yourself up above others who have tried to do harm, but they're doing it in a way that is morally recognized.
Ah, morals is the issue.
Mm-hmm.
What are morals?
Morals, in my opinion, are a set of values that drive you through your actions.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got good morals, then you're going to do things that make you feel good. If you've got bad morals, then you're going to do things that are bad.
And where should people go to get these morals?
Well, I mean, you don't exactly go somewhere, but it's something that's taught you since you were born. I go to church, and that's something that's been important to me.
Mm-hmm.
So that instills a great sense of morals.
Okay. So you get it, I'm assuming a Bible is where you get it?
Oh, yes, sir. Bible,
yeah.
And scripture and pastor.
Got it.
And pastor and all that.
Okay, so you're a Christian?
Yes, sir.
What kind?
Methodist.
Methodist. Okay, so tell me, what would John Wesley tell me I must do to go to heaven?
I just believe that the best idea is to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I mean,
be good
to
people.
If you don't want people to cheat on your test, then don't cheat on theirs.
Okay. So, in order to get to heaven, what you just told me is I need to be nice to people. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. You're sure?
Yes.
Have you always been nice to people?
No, but that's the problem of the human condition. Everybody has their moments.
What is the human condition? Do you think it's basically good or basically bad?
I believe humans are basically good, but we all have our desires that bypass our morals and cause us to do things that we would not normally want to do in a situation in which emotions would not be
involved. How many bad things does somebody need to do before they're a bad person?
I don't think it's a quantifiable number, but I think it's whether or not you do it knowingly or unknowingly. If you knowingly do bad things consistently, then I would say you're a bad person.
So multiple repeated offenses. So a horrible scenario. Some guy has done something horrible to a little girl one time. Does that qualify him for being a bad guy?
Society would say yes, but I mean, if he does truly repent, if he knows that he did wrong and he truly does try to not do it again, then I think he just made a mistake.
Okay.
But if he does, like, oh, I'm going to do better, or I'm going to do community service, but then he goes back
to
the
But
you
still think he's a good guy?
I probably wouldn't want to hang around with him, but I'd still give him the benefit of the doubt.
Okay. So you believe that we're typically born good. We maybe just get off the track a little bit.
Yes.
You're sure John Wesley taught that?
I'm not positive, but that's how I believe.
Okay. What about the Bible? Do you know what the Bible says about it?
The Bible says about...
our condition when we're born.
We're all created in God's image.
Right.
So, I mean, yep. I'm assuming that God would not create us inherently evil. So, I'm assuming that we are born good.
Yeah. The Bible actually says that we are born with what's called an Adamic nature. It's got the name Adam in it, that we inherited the sinful nature of our forefather Adam. In sin were we born, in iniquity were we conceived. So immediately our DNA is that we are bad, that we're not good. You ever been to a Chuck E. Cheese's?
Yes, I have.
Mm-hmm. You still think the kids are good?
I believe kids are motivated by their own intentions.
Okay, so you said somebody just needs to be good to their neighbor and they get to heaven, right? What about things outside of just being good to your neighbor, like lying or pornography or lusting or blasphemy? What about those things?
Well, I think that still all somewhat boils down to the same thing, like going to pornography. I mean, you're viewing someone else and you're lusting over them. You're not being good towards them. You are putting them as an item instead of a person.
Okay. Everything that you've described is kind of horizontal, that it's all about whether it hurts somebody or not. What about the mm-hmm. vertical aspect of it, that it's a sin against God? What about that aspect?
What are you asking exactly?
Well, you described to get to heaven, you've got to be good to other people.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do something that's bad to other people, then it's bad. But you haven't mentioned that any of that would be a sin against the Creator. What okay. about that aspect of it, that you do something bad, and not only have you maybe hurt somebody or not, you've done it behind closed doors, nobody knows about it, it's still a sin against God. Mm-hmm. Isn't that an aspect and a component?
Yes, definitely. I mean, basically anything we do wrong is a sin against God, but it, in my opinion, if God expects us to sin, it's part of our nature.
Mm-hmm.
All that He really cares about is if we come back to Him.
Okay. All right. So I'm not exactly sure what that means, come back to Him.
If we repent and truly ask for forgiveness, and not just on the surface so that, okay, I'm clean, let me go do it again.
Okay. I mean,
it's not like you go throughout the day, you get dirty, you take a bath at night. It's
right.
If you try to keep as clean as possible.
Okay. So the guy on the campus who's doing bad things, who never does what you're describing, what's going to happen to him when he dies?
Well, I mean, the Bible says he's going to go to hell.
How come?
Because morally he's not driven in the way that the Bible expects us to, and also because he has not repented.
Okay.
I mean, if you repent no matter what you've done, then by the Bible, you should go to heaven.
Okay. So we got a new bite of information here. Originally you said, I'm just testing, this is your second mm-hmm. test today, that you said you get to heaven by being nice to your neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
But now you're kind of saying something different. We aren't nice to our neighbor all the time, and so we need to repent.
Yes.
Okay, so it's not about being nice. It sounds to me like there's a different issue involved here.
Well, yes, repentance is the main thing that gets to heaven. But I believe that both repentance and being nice to your neighbor are closely related.
They're related.
Very closely related.
Okay, so you believe Jesus died on a cross.
Yes, sir.
And what did he accomplish when he did that?
The ultimate sacrifice. I mean, he showed, I mean,
the perfect sacrifice?
Yeah. I mean, he was fully aware that we are humans, that we are going to be messing up, that we are going to sin constantly
right.
against him. And
yeah.
so he's like, well, I still love him enough that I will die for him.
Okay. In order that?
In order that we can join him.
Because we need to be forgiven.
Yes.
Right? So people need to be forgiven for their sins, not trying to do good. They need to be forgiven. If that was the perfect sacrifice, wouldn't that forgive all of your sins?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so isn't doing good a response to being forgiven?
Yeah.
Okay, so we don't do good to get to heaven. We do good because God has saved us and we're going to heaven.
Yeah, and we should do good. I mean, it should be something that we want to do,
right.
not something that we have to do.
Right. It's good. So that sounds a little bit different than where we started.
Probably.
A little bit different. Okay, so how do I get forgiven? All right, I'm standing here. You're a nice guy. I'm interested. What do I need to do to be forgiven by God?
Well, you just need to acknowledge that you are a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
You need to then ask for your forgiveness. Know the fact that you are not going to stop sinning once you repent,
mm-hmm.
that you still are human.
Okay.
And just still be cognizant that you want to do better.
Okay. And what about faith? Where does that play a part?
A big part. I mean, we can't see God. We can't touch God. We got to have faith that He's still there.
So we repent and put our trust in Jesus. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you've done that?
Yes, sir.
When?
Oh, man. A while ago, probably about 12 years ago.
12 years ago. And how old are you now?
I'm 21.
Okay, so about 9 years old. And you've been living for the Lord since then?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Do you read your Bible every day?
I try to. I do a devotional every day.
You do a devotional every day? If I got 10 of your pals around and said, hey, what's the number one priority in his life, what would they say?
To help others first. I would hope.
Okay. What about loving the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength?
I believe that people should be able to see that I love God through my actions. I'm not the kind of person who goes about professing it, just saying, hey, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. I want them to be able to tell that I'm a Christian by the way I act.
All right. Dude, thanks for the chat.
No
appreciate
problem,
it man. Very much. See ya. Okay. Here's why I kept going with that. I'm thinking of Mark Dever the whole time. Mark Dever, Nine Marks Ministries, wrote a book about, well, part of it at least, was the Nine Marks of a Healthy Church. And one of the things that they do at their church is have membership tests. Before you are allowed into fellowship, they want to hear that your confession is sound. Now, somebody doesn't need to be able to just articulate and just go right down the Westminster Confession or the Luther Small Catechism, whatever your thing happens to be. It's okay that they can't do that perfectly. You should be able to ask questions, and if with reasonable prompting and leading, not dragging them by the nose, if they can express their faith rightly, then you would accept them into membership, and if not, you'd be concerned about their salvation. Here's my question for you. You just heard our young Methodist friend basically go through what would be kind of a membership course. Would you let him in? Or would you say it's time to start witnessing because we've got a really white harvest right inside of the church? It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. Numbers. Who doesn't love numbers? Okay, I don't, and maybe you don't either, but you are going to be thrilled at these statistics from preborn.org. Since 2007, there have been over 500,000 pregnancy tests. Whoa. 42,000 women have professed faith in Jesus Christ, and over 123,000 babies' lives were saved. You can have a direct impact on the battle for life in a country that is increasingly opposed to life. While the government is busy trying to take the lives of more children, you and I can be saving babies and saving mommies because Preborn, they provide free ultrasounds, and they also preach the gospel. Babies get saved, and so do mommies. Would you please help grow these numbers by supporting Preborn? You can do that at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
What is a worldview? Simply put, it's how people view the world. And sadly, these days, most evangelicals have adopted a dualistic worldview, which means they place Christianity in the realm of faith, while things like logic, reason, science, and even morality are fixed in the realm of reality. And the results have been pretty evident. When you look around, you see Christians who are operating without a proper Christian worldview. And our newest resource, Wretched Worldview, seeks to change all that. Todd Friel and Dr. Owen Strand gather together to tackle 22 tough contemporary issues through a biblical lens that puts our Christian worldview into clear focus. Topics like capitalism, global warming, eugenics, politics, and so many others are discussed not to tell you what to think, but how to think these things through biblically. And Wretched Worldview also comes with a study guide, which is perfect for any Bible study or Sunday school class. Order your copies right now at wretched.org/worldview. That's wretched.org/worldview.
Typical radio commercials will have one big shebang, the opening line. Do we have your attention now? This particular commercial has eight. Have we got your attention now? MediShare, affordable biblical health sharing, will save the average family $500 per month. Second, MediShare has double the customer satisfaction rate compared to typical health insurance. Double, that's times two if you weren't homeschooled. A massive network of providers to choose from. MediShare is the most trusted name in healthcare sharing. They've been around for 25 years. $4 billion in healthcare bills have been shared. If you call them now, you will save on the joining fee. They're going to erase it. That's another $170. This is a limited time offer, which means make it snappy. Call 1-844-34-BIBLE, 844-34-BIBLE. Did I mention 844-34-BIBLE to get your MediShare quote in under 2 minutes?
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. A good shepherd protects, directs, provides, and cares for his sheep. Jesus called himself the good shepherd, who lays his life down for his sheep. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It is a Witness Wednesday. I'm at Georgia Tech trying to witness to people, talk to people about the important things, not nuclear physics and the other things that they're studying here, because they're all a bunch of brainiacs is what they are. They're all into the I don't even know what they are. The things that make things go. Nuclear stuff and physics and architecture people, builder sorts. Answering the question, Friel, if you had applied to Georgia Tech, would you have gotten in? No. We know that now, don't we? Okay, I'm going to try to scoot over and talk to this guy. Dude's wearing flip-flops and a ski hat. He's hot, he's cold. I'm not exactly sure, but I want to talk to him. You're listening to Wretched Radio on Witness Wednesday. Hey, dude, while you're walking, could I talk to you for a moment on the radio?
Sure.
Cool. All right, what are you listening to on your headset?
Newfound Glory.
What's that?
It's a band, a punk band, I'd say.
Newfound Glory? What mm-hmm. does that mean? It's got the name Glory. Is it religious?
No, not religious. I'd say it's just... I really don't know.
All right. Here's why I wanted to talk to you. You're flip-flopping, and you got a ski hat on.
Mm-hmm.
How come?
The hat's comfortable. And I like to have the air on my feet.
But not on your head?
No.
Okay. I mean, that's fair. We all have personal preferences.
It's also fashionable.
Ah, for the chicks.
Of course.
There you go. Because that's a big part of going to school, isn't it?
Yeah, sure.
Overall, do you think this is a pretty moral campus?
I'd say so.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know? Compared to...
There's a lot of places you can go religious-wise if you'd like to. They keep everything pretty decent. You don't see, like, you know, inappropriate posters
all over
the place.
I've been surprised at that.
I think it's a pretty moral, pretty good campus.
Yeah. What about you? How are you morally?
I mean, I'm not too religious. I don't go to church, but I believe I have a moral standing. I'm just not tied to one religion at the moment.
Yeah. Do you think you're a good person?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. How do you know?
Because I always ask myself what I feel is morally right, and I do that.
Is it possible that there's a moral standard outside of yourself?
You mean like pre-written morals that we should follow, like a religion?
Well, that or wherever you get it. I'm just thinking about the criminal who would stand in front of the judge maybe and say what you just said. And that is, judge, every day I ask myself, am I living right? Ultimately, it's not going to matter. If the judge thinks you're guilty no matter what you think.
Right. Well, I mean, there are laws that you have to obey. And
what about moral laws, though? Stuff you can get away with. Stuff where there aren't written laws about it. Do you think that there's a different set of morals in the universe?
I believe in karma. So I believe if you do something wrong, morally wrong, even if no one catches you, eventually you're going to have to pay for it.
Okay, I'm always curious, going this way. When it comes to karma, who is the cosmic accountant that's making sure that people get punished?
It's not necessarily that there's some higher being, in my belief.
This way?
Like I said, I'm not really with a religion. It's mostly that, almost probability, it's just a power. It's not really a being. It's just the forces of nature, kind of.
Yeah. That sounds like God to me.
In a sense, it is. It's just, I'm not exactly atheist. I just don't know which God I'd like to call it yet.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Is it perhaps a more specific question, not what do I want to call God, but who is God?
I think that's fair.
Yeah. And you don't know?
I'd say so.
Did you grow up in a religious home?
Yes. Southern Baptist.
Southern Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
And who did they say God is?
A divine being that created the earth and all the things in it and controls all the things in it.
Uh-huh. And you don't think that's right?
I think it's right. I just didn't stick with that religion because there were some things that I was unsure about. And there were some things in other religions that I...
Oh, we're interested.
That I liked, yeah.
What were you unsure about when it comes to being a Southern Baptist?
The creation. Me, obviously, I go to tech. I like science. I kind of feel more towards the scientific creation and evolution.
Yeah.
But can't really think of too many examples off the top of my head. Huh. Mostly it was just I saw other things in other religions
that were intriguing.
I appreciated.
Like reincarnation, karma.
Karma. Not necessarily reincarnation, but karma and just...
Well, Christianity has karma in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
that God will make sure that anything that's done that's wrong will get punished. So that aspect is in Christianity, isn't it?
Yes, I didn't feel it. Like, when I talk to Christians and I go to church and things like that, I didn't feel that they believed in karma as I did. I didn't feel like their points of view of the topic agreed entirely with mine. Mm-hmm. So I'm at a point where I'm just looking around. Probably I will end up going back to Southern Baptist just because that's my roots. And if anything, it's probably what I feel strongest with.
Okay, tell me. Believe it or not, you and I have a lot in common. You don't know this, but we do. I was a lot like you many years ago because I didn't understand something. So I'd like to ask you, tell me, what is the gospel?
The gospel? The books written by...
No, what is the gospel? The good news. The Christian gospel.
Don't believe I know.
Okay, that might be a big... What's your first name?
Casey.
Okay, Casey. It's all right. Okay, Casey, this might be helpful. I'm going to ask you a tough question. Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to test that, all right? How many lies have you told in your life?
A few.
A few. Okay, so if you tell a few lies, what does that make? If I told a few lies, you might call me a...
Liar.
Okay, how many things have you stolen in your life?
Never.
Okay. How many times have you taken God's name in vain?
I might have a few.
Blasphemy. Okay. How many times, we talked about girls before, how many times have you looked at a woman on campus with lust, with sexual desire?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay, and we'll leave it there. We won't get into fornication. Okay. We won't get into pornography. We'll just leave it with looking with lust. Okay, the Bible says you're going to die. And you're going to give an account. The books will be open. So there you stand, naked before God. No attorneys, no parents, nothing. You and God. He knows every thought, every deed done in darkness, everything you should have done but didn't, all the times you had a meal and you didn't thank him. Mm-hmm. Would he find you innocent or guilty, Casey?
Well, again, that comes back to that's the Christian God that you're speaking of. The things that you've named off that you feel are wrong does not agree with what I feel is wrong.
Again, this comes back to it doesn't matter what the criminal thinks. The question is, what does the judge think? So if the Bible is true, okay, grant me that premise. If the Bible is true, if the God of the Bible is the only God, no other options, he's it. He's the creator. He's your maker. Those are his laws. Would you be innocent or guilty?
Here's my thing. You say that it's the judge who gets to decide what's right or wrong. Well, we get to decide what country we live in, and we choose the country whose laws we agree with. So if you don't like the laws that you're following under that judge, you go to a country that you agree with.
Right. But God's not a country, okay? This is his world. He's the one who wrote the rules. So the question is, if you stood before him, innocent or guilty?
I would consider myself innocent because my beliefs are different than... I don't believe...
But there could be
more than one God. I believe there could be a Christian God. There could be, you know, Buddha. There could be multiple gods. We each may see our own God when we come to
Setting that aside for a moment, my premise is this. If there is only one God and you stand before him and he knows everything you've done, innocent or guilty...
I may be guilty of a few things. That's for him to decide.
Right.
But I do things as I feel best. Day to day, I do what I feel is right. And I don't regret a single thing I've done. If I stand in front of him, if I have done wrong in choosing who I wish to believe, and I stand in front of your God, and he deems me guilty and sends me to hell, then I can at least say I've done my best. I've done what I feel is right. Day to day, moment to moment, I've done what I feel is right, and I deserve what I get.
Okay.
And I will burn in hell, and that's what I pay. At least I can say that I made the best decision I could moment to moment.
You don't want to go to hell?
I don't want to, but if I'm doing the best I feel I can, and your God sends me to hell, what does that say about your God?
That he's just.
Okay, then I deserve to go to hell. That's what it boils down to.
Casey, what's the gospel? Tell me, what's the gospel now? This is where the good news comes in. What is it?
The gospel is something from your religion that follow.
I understand, but what is it? What is the gospel? What's the good news right now? Because we've now discovered some bad news. If God is who he claims to be, you're going to hell. That's the bad news. What's the good news?
You
know
mean
this.
If I do all things right, I go to heaven?
No, and you haven't. So you're in big trouble already. So that's
irrelevant.
But
you're saying that's what the good news would be.
No.
If I did do everything
right. How many years
right?
did you go to church, Casey?
I went to church, went to Sunday, or not Sunday school, I went to summer Bible camp of years when I was younger.
Okay.
Didn't go to church on Sundays, no.
Okay, dude, the good news is Jesus Christ, you've heard his name,
mm-hmm.
he's God. He came to this earth to die on a cross to take the punishment you deserve.
Mm-hmm.
You deserve the wrath of the Father. Jesus took it on your behalf so that your sins can be forgiven. You've broken the law. Jesus paid your fine. And if you'll repent, apologize, put your trust in Jesus Christ, then the Bible says you'll be forgiven of your sins and God will grant you everlasting life. That's the good news. You don't have to go to hell. God will save you and he'll take you to heaven based on what his son did. That's the good news of the gospel. Now, I know you're thinking about stuff here. You're going through campus and college and trying to figure these things out, all right? So as you ponder things and try to figure it out as you're on campus here,
mm-hmm.
now at least you're dealing with what the Bible teaches, and now you know what the options are. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
All right, dude. Thanks for the chat. You're a gentleman.
Good
Thanks
day.
Very much. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I'm Jimmy Hicks. Recently, David Jeremiah urged his church over the weekend to consider pulling their children out of public school in order to save them from a progressive and atheistic ideology that will steal their faith. Jeremiah said public schools start the brainwashing in the first grade. He told his people, quote, find a Christian school where you know your children are not going to be fed the falsehood of socialist ideology that will destroy their lives and steal their faith. Landy Stanley, the pastor of North Point Church in Atlanta, recently allowed the baptism of an openly gay man in his church. The man clearly identifies himself as a homosexual living a homosexual lifestyle. Here's audio from the video played just prior to the man's baptism.
It wasn't until I moved to Atlanta and met one of my now best friends, Gregory Cook, that I was connected with a community of LGBTQ Christians. I saw shining examples of healthy LGBTQ Christ-centered relationships. I remember driving to Starting Point one week and listening to Andy's messages right before Starting Point groups as a way of preparing for that session, and I just started crying. I'm excited to be baptized and publicly share that I love Jesus. He is my Lord and Savior.
A few years ago, it became clear that Andy Stanley was beginning to embrace a pro-homosexual, pro-feminist worldview for his church. He once told a mother of an openly gay and practicing lesbian that her daughter was saved. Well, Chicago Public Schools will be opening the doors of their buildings for the first time since the start of COVID. And to get school supplies ready and accessible for students, they have started a brand new program, and it's going to stock schools with masks and hand sanitizer and disinfectant wipes and air purifiers, forehead thermometers, all the things that you might think are needed post-COVID. But let's not forget about the condoms. That's right, condoms are going to be provided to students in grades 5 and up. Under the new school policy, all 600 public schools in Chicago that teach the 5th grade and up will be required to maintain condom availability. Because, you know, condoms are the one supply 5th graders are in need of in order to get their education. Good job, Chicago. Thinking of everything. Well, just days after publishing an expansive plan to promote critical race theory throughout the U.S., the largest teachers union in the United States has removed the scheme from its website following negative press coverage. The National Education Association last weekend approved an agenda item entitled New Business Item 39 to explicitly promote critical race theory in American classrooms. Their plan approved the use of CRT, stating that it is reasonable and appropriate for curriculum to be informed by academic frameworks for understanding and interpreting the impact of the past on current society, including critical race theory. To date, more than half of all American states have moved to restrict or ban CRT in the classroom. Prior to the removal of the plan from its website, the union admitted that its scheme lacked funds for implementation, falling short by almost $130,000. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Books of the Bible.
the Apostle Peter wrote to the elect exiles who were facing persecution for the sake of Christ. Peter exhorted them to trust God and to continue living godly lives. He reminds them of their hope in Christ and their high calling. When you want to learn joyful obedience, no matter what your circumstances, look to 1 Peter. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio, and it's a Witness Wednesday. I'm at Georgia Tech. Don't know if you caught the witness encounter that we just had with a young man named Casey, who grew up Southern Baptist, who didn't understand the gospel. And it's not just Southern Baptist. It's Lutheran. It's Catholic. It's Episcopalian. Casey never heard the good news, didn't even know what the good news is. Again, the church is so under-evangelized. And the same thing was true with that young man. And I wish you could have seen the look in his face when we were talking about standing before God on Judgment Day, being guilty, and what he would do with you. Could be wrong, but I think he was getting kind of emotional. And it was, I think he was understanding his situation. And that's why I gave him the good news. Because remember, when you're witnessing to somebody, somebody doesn't need to confess to you, please tell me about the hope that lies within you. You don't need to hear that. Sometimes you can actually see that. Please give them the good news. It is our desire to give the good news. Yeah, there's definitely times when we shouldn't do it, when there's people who are antagonistic and snarky. But overall, I think the rule is that we want to give out the gospel. All right, I'm going to walk with this young fellow right here. Excuse me, young man. While you're walking, could I talk to you on the radio for a moment?
Yeah, sure.
What are you studying here, dude?
Mechanical engineering.
Tell me, what is the most amazing thing that you've learned about mechanical engineering since you've been here at Georgia Tech?
How prevalent mechanical engineering is in so many of the problems
being
solved today.
All right. Now, do you think that all of these laws, these equations that people have come up with, did they happen randomly, or do you think that there was some sort of order or design behind them?
I don't think that they necessarily happen randomly. I'm sure some of them came from random circumstances, but I think that it takes a ordered approach to develop them.
Mm-hmm. So there was, is there some sort of an orderer for all these equations?
I think to a certain extent there is.
Who do you think it is?
God.
Who's God?
Good question.
Yeah?
If I had to put it into words, I would say that God was, independent of any religion, God is a higher being that, yeah. Well, from my own personal beliefs, God is the creator of the world and the individual that has brought us to this place and time.
Okay. Do you think he's your provider?
I do.
Yeah. Do you think, as your creator and provider, that he has rights to you?
I think if you believe, if you trust in him, then yes.
But if you don't, he doesn't have rights to you.
I don't think you'd want to admit that he does.
But do you think he does?
Yes.
You, individually.
Yes.
So
yes.
He has the rights to you and what you do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you think you've been obedient to this creator provider?
I try to be, but I haven't.
Okay. So what do you think he's going to do with you when you meet him? You're a thoughtful type, aren't you?
I am.
You sure are.
I would say when I meet him, I think that he will appreciate that I tried, but that I wasn't always perfect.
Okay. Does that work these days in a court of law? Judge,
no.
I tried.
No. I think it's taken into consideration.
Okay.
But overall, no.
Overall. So what do you think, if there's a punishment and a reward system, what do you think you're going to get?
Right now, I'll probably get punishment.
Yeah. That's a lovely thought.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Do you think about these things ever?
I do.
Yeah. And what have you done about it?
Well, I try to eliminate sinful decisions from my life.
Okay. But you've sinned?
Mm-hmm.
Yes?
Mm-hmm.
So it sounds like you're in big trouble.
I guess so.
Huh. Do you have a religious background?
I do.
What is it?
Catholic.
What did they teach you about the afterlife?
Well, what I was taught was that, exactly what we're talking about, that when you die, you are judged for your sins.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's a dividing line, and that it comes down between heaven and hell.
Yeah, and it sounds like you're going to hell.
You could say that.
Yeah. Does that concern you?
It does.
I hated that. How old are you?
22.
Yeah, I hated the thought of death because I just knew I'd been a bad boy, and I just knew what I deserved. All right, this isn't Catholic, but this is, what does the Bible say that you must do to be made right with God? It has a provision, you know. There is a way for you to be forgiven. What is it?
Repent.
That's right. What does that mean?
Accept Jesus Christ.
Okay. That may be faith, where you believe in Jesus Christ. The Bible speaks of repenting, which means agreeing with God, I'm bad, I've done wrong. Mm-hmm. I've looked with lust, I've blasphemed, I've lied, I've stolen, I dishonor my parents. Mm-hmm. I did everything contrary to God's will.
Right.
But there's a provision so that God can be just, because he must be just. He must punish lawbreakers.
Right.
What did he do to satisfy justice on your behalf?
He gave his only son.
That's right. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, and whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life.
Right.
You've broken God's laws, but Jesus paid your fine. So you can go to heaven not as a good person, but as a bad person who's been forgiven by a good God. If you will repent, acknowledge your sins, apologize, turn from them, and put your trust in Jesus.
Right.
That's what the Bible teaches. By the way, that's not Roman Catholic.
No.
That's what the Bible teaches, though. Right. The Bible says you can be saved by faith alone in Jesus Christ alone because you're a lawbreaker and you can't do anything good to help yourself, but he will save you, and your badness can be put on Jesus, and his goodness can be credited to your account.
Right.
So that you can be seen as perfect, even though we're still here and we sin, we still do bad things, but we're seen as perfect by God because of what Jesus did, and he grows us in holiness, not to perfection, but then when we die, he takes us to heaven based on what Jesus did. So, dude, if you're thinking about these things, I'm glad you are. Ponder this. You're right. You're a lawbreaker like the rest of us. But God is good, and he's kind, and he's rich in mercy. And the good news of the gospel is that Jesus rose from the dead, defeated death, and he can forgive your sins if you'll repent and put your trust in him. That's the good news of the gospel.
Right.
Got something to think about today, eh?
Yeah.
All right, man.
Thanks.
I hope you will. Goodbye.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. One of those deals. All right. Goodbye. See you. If that young man could have drilled holes through the back of my head by staring at me, because he was looking at me like I was bringing a bite of information that he has been, it would seem, looking for. And it's a joy and it is a delight to be able to share the good news of the gospel with people who are simply trying to figure it out. All right, there's a guy behind me right now. Dude, how are you? Hey, can I talk to you while you're walking?
Sure.
What are you listening to?
Just music.
What kind?
Rock.
Rock music. Okay. Who?
Seven Dust.
Seven Dust. Are they popular?
They're popular around Georgia, so they're from Athens.
Okay. So if I don't know who Seven Dust is, will you still talk to me?
Sure.
Okay, cool. What are you studying here?
Mechanical engineering.
Cool. I want you to tell me the most amazing thing you've learned since you've been here about mechanical engineering.
I've learned how to make, like, 3D models of just about anything, which is really seems like it'd be very practical.
Yeah, but what, a lesson, a law, a rule, a principle, anything that made you go, whoa, cool?
I don't know about laws and principles, but, I've learned, analytical thought process and, the way to think to create something.
Okay. So you're a logical kind of guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so do you think there's rules of logic?
Hey, Ned. What's up, man? Yeah.
Yeah? And do you think there's rules of physics and engineering?
Well, naturally there would be rules of physics, like things like gravity don't change.
Okay. Do you think that those rules were random, or did they come about by a designer? How do you think that we got these rules?
Are we talking about theory of intelligent design?
Well, if you want to.
I've always been a firm believer in the theory of intelligent design.
Who do you think the intelligent designer is?
God.
Who do you think that is?
It's kind of hard to say, because, a lot of the things about God are kind of a little bit beyond comprehension.
Wouldn't argue with that. Yeah?
But?
Who do you think it is?
You mean like what, faith?
Well, no, just you personally. Who do you think? Does your God have a name? Does he dwell someplace? What does he do? Is it a he? Is it a she?
I mean, for me, God is, I don't really think of him as like anything remotely human. It's kind of like, he's not really a, I say he, but I mean like, there's not really a gender to, per se, God. Because like, you know, if he was a male, that would mean there would have to be like a female counterpart or something like that. And there isn't.
Are you sure?
Are there two gods?
I'm asking you.
Oh, well, I don't think so.
Why would there have to be a female counterpart if there's a male?
Well, I mean, like, male and female, that makes a whole. You know, like, you can't...
Are you not a whole?
It would be futile to have a males, you know, males just walking around without females to, you know... To complete that whole thing. It would be completely useless for a male to be a male.
Are you useless?
Well, I mean, no, but as a male I am, but not as a human being.
What's the difference?
Well, I mean, like, when I say male, you know, being male does not necessarily define who I am entirely. It is a feature about me.
Mm-hmm.
And if, say, I guess...
Are you complete as you are?
I don't know. It's a difficult question.
All right, dude, hold on 1 second. I gotta take a break. Hold on. Back in a moment. Wretched Radio.
This is me biting my tongue, introducing Paul Marty from Tomorrow Clubs.
Communism so wreaked havoc in the countries where we work that they not only need physical rebuilding, but they need spiritual rebuilding as well.
Would love to offer a political commentary, but instead would like to encourage you to support your very own Tomorrow Club. In Eastern Europe, they are still feeling the ravages of communism, and very few missionary organizations seem to find their way to the poorest of the poor nations in Eastern Europe. Tomorrow Clubs does. They teach the gospel to kids every week in kids' clubs. They meet in small, poor villages where they share the gospel. The kids get saved. They bring the gospel home, and moms and dads get saved. Please consider supporting your very own Tomorrow Club at tomorrowclub.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for joining us here today at Wretched Radio. You know, we're always appreciative of you feeling like we're important enough to spend part of your day with. And maybe you want to keep up with all the happenings at Wretched. Well, every month, Wretched sends out a newsletter that covers tough theological issues, and it keeps you up to date with all the things new at Wretched. And you receive updates not only on what's going on at Wretched, but you're also going to get thorough and in-depth messages on a wide range of theological issues that Christians face today. So if you want to get the Wretched newsletter in your email box each and every month, just head on over to wretched.org/newsletter to get signed up. That's wretched.org/newsletter. And while you're there, check out our donate page and find out all of the information on becoming a gospel partner, and prayerfully consider helping us spread the gospel all over the world. wretched.org/donate. That's wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
If you think there are assaults on biblical truth in the good old U.S. of A., oh, travel overseas. Those assaults do not stay inside of our borders, and that is why Dr. John MacArthur, leading the Master's Academy International mini-seminaries all throughout the world in 17 different nations, equipping pastors to rightly divide the word, fill empty pulpits, and defend the truth.
The foundation of all ministry is having a firm grasp of the authority and inerrancy of Scripture. The age of tolerance in which we live has caused guys to soften their message, which means you eliminate certain things in Scripture or you soften the message. Young guys that are coming into the ministry need to reaffirm their commitment to the authority and power of Scripture.
Please support that effort through the Master's Academy International, wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the seed of the woman. Immediately after the fall of man, God promised a Savior who would be the offspring of the woman. Jesus was born of a virgin, a divine Savior born of the seed of woman.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Logic. We are about to be very logical. We are on the campus of Georgia Tech, and I'm walking and talking with a guy from Walton's Mountain, sort of a Jim Courier look-like, and the kid who beat me up when I was little. You're all those three people wrapped into one, dude.
What can I say?
All right, dude. You said that you're into logic, right?
Yeah.
And you said that you believe that there is a God.
Yes.
All right? Because you look at the creation and you realize, got to be a creator out there.
Yes.
Uh-huh. But you just don't know who it is. Mm-hmm. Would this be logical? If God created everything, we can learn something about that God from the creation. Fair enough?
Mm-hmm.
Take a look around. What can we learn from God by looking at the creation? Give me some attributes of God by looking at the universe.
I mean, I would say from that, I would say God is definitely eternal. Because if you look at some theories, like, I guess, like, quantum stuff like that, the universe has never gone away. There was no beginning. There was no end. Right. It just kind of oscillates between.
So God is eternal.
Yeah.
All right. What other attributes?
He is extraordinarily complicated.
I agree with that. All right. Now, here's a trickier one. Communicative. He communicates.
Yeah.
How do you know that?
Well, if you look at life, you know, the creation of life, one of the, you know, defining features of things that are alive from things that aren't is that they can move and, you know, interact with one another.
All right. Very good.
And, you know, things wouldn't live very long if they couldn't communicate with each other.
Very good. All right. So we communicate, therefore God communicates. Very logical. Very good. Now, if God is a communicator, would it be fair for me to ask, has he communicated specifically to the creation?
I mean, I would say that there were instances where that would be true. I mean, you know, I've had experiences where I felt like God was trying to communicate to me or something like that. Like, right. I would feel very strongly motivated to do something, and if I didn't do it, it would just continue to, like, weigh on my mind until I did it.
Right.
And then it would always be something, you know, that was, like, something you would think God would want you to do.
Okay. Now, what about communicating to humanity in a big way? It would be fair for me to ask, all right, if God is communicative, has he communicated to us? So now I'm going to logically progress to another level. I'm going to take a look at all of the books that claim to be communications from God and try to figure out if any of them are true. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
Right. What do you know about the Bible?
Well, I mean, I know it was written by a whole lot of people, and I know that, you know.
Now tell me, what does it teach?
I mean, it basically, like, teaches us, you know, like, the best way to live our lives and stuff like that. And, like, it teaches us, like, you know, I guess, like, important values and morals and stuff like that. And it teaches us how to live with faith and, you know, just be a better person.
All right. I'm trying to stick with logic.
Okay.
Do you think that we as created beings have a conscience?
Yeah, I think we do.
All right. Now, I want to probe into your conscience for a minute, and then we're going to come back to this whole God idea.
Okay.
All right? And this is going to get a little gnarly? Is that the hip word? Snarly?
If you want it to be, it is.
What's the cool word these days? It's going to be tough, tricky, challenging, hard. All right, here we go.
Hard.
All right. How many times have you told lies in your life?
I mean, to be honest, too many to count, but I mean, like, I've, you know, it's like...
Got it. Hold on. Okay. So you told a lot of lies. How many things have you stolen in your life?
I think I can say I've only ever stolen maybe one or two things.
All right. But you have.
But I have.
All right. How many times, brace yourself for this one, maybe even today, have you walked around and looked at women and had sexual thoughts about them?
Oh. Well, I mean, that one I really try not to do because I have, like, I'm in a pretty committed relationship. So that one I really try not to do, but I would say it probably might happen once or twice.
All right.
Over the course of the day.
All right. I'm starting to get into your conscience right now.
Okay.
All right. How many times were you naughty as a child? Besides the times you beat me up.
Yeah. Define naughty. Like, how naughty are we talking about?
You didn't do what your parents wanted you to do.
Oh,
they had to yell at you.
Countless times.
Okay.
Innumerable.
All right. Have you ever taken God's name in vain?
Yes. I feel really bad about that one, but I have.
Okay. That's blasphemy, and that's your conscience at work. All right, so here's where we're at, dude. We've logicked our way. I look around. I see the creation. I know there's a creator. I understand his attributes, one of which is he communicates. I also now understand I've got a conscience, and I, inside of my brain, realize I have done bad things. And if this God holds me accountable, I'm going to be in big trouble.
Yeah.
Agreed?
Yes.
All right. Now, the question is, which one of these books if any of them, satisfy my new problem. Your newly discovered problem is you've broken laws. Your conscience knows it. It testifies with you that you've broken the laws. Is there any one of these religious books that gets me out of this hot water that I'm in? Can you think of any?
I mean, the two books that I've read pretty extensively were the Quran and the Bible. And the Bible is the one of those two that I know helps fix that problem. The Quran basically is just, you know, it's almost like complaining about why other religions are wrong a lot of the time.
Okay, so how does the Bible solve your let's call it your sin problem?
First off, it gave me kind of that moral foundation to not sin as much in the first place. Like, it helped reduce that a lot. And then on top of that, it also kind of gave me a little insurance policy, I guess, with Jesus Christ and, you know, the forgiveness that he gave us.
Uh-huh. How does that work?
Well, I mean, like, since he died on the cross, you know, it was kind of like his payment for our sins and stuff like that. You know, I believe that he made that sacrifice to help me and that I need to, in turn, try and live my life the best I can, you know, and, you know, to be, I guess, grateful for that sacrifice.
All right. So, if everything that we've said is true, your situation is you've broken God's laws, but what you're telling me is Jesus paid our fine, correct?
Yes.
So if forgiveness is available from this God, we've suddenly discovered that he's very kind and he's very good.
Yes.
The question is, how do I get forgiven by God? What must I do to have Jesus' goodness appropriated to me? How do I get forgiven by God?
I mean, first, I think believing in God and trying to have a relationship with God helps immeasurably with that. And also, when you do something wrong, you know, if you genuinely feel bad about it and you talk to God about it and you apologize and you really try not to do it anymore, okay, I think you'll be forgiven for it.
Okay. Let me see if I can put this in a logical order and you tell me what you think, all right?
Okay.
This is what I think. This is what the Bible says. You're right. You're a lawbreaker. God, on a day that he has appointed, will judge all men in righteousness, in perfection. And if we've broken the laws, we deserve to go to hell. You deserve it. I deserve it. They deserve it. Fair enough. But God is rich in mercy, and he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the God-man, to die on a cross to take the punishment that you and I deserve.
Mm-hmm.
Rose from the dead, ascended into heaven, defeating death. And the Bible says, now that you know that he is good and he's kind and he's merciful, and to the extent that he went to save you so that your badness can be placed on Jesus and his goodness can be credited to your account, you must repent. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
The Bible talks about it in kind of a radical way, a born again sort of thing. That's the word that Jesus used. A man must be born again, and it doesn't mean that we go back into our mother's stomachs. That's dopey. It's a spiritual rebirth. It's when we get to the place where we realize, whoa, there is one true God. I have sinned a lot, and he died to save me. I am sorry. I am done with myself. I apologize. You turn from your sins. That's that repentance thing you're talking about.
Yes.
And you put your trust in Jesus Christ and him alone, because he's the only true God. And the Bible says if you will do that, because he's the only true God, then you will be forgiven of your sins and granted everlasting life and taken to heaven, not on your own merits, but on Jesus' merits, so that he can be praised for being such an amazingly kind God. What a kind God. What a good God. What a loving God.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, dude, that born-again thing, that coming to the point in your life where you realize, I'm undone, I have blown it, I have sinned, forgive me. You cast yourself at God's mercy, you put your trust in Jesus. Have you done that?
I have.
When?
I did it October 16th of my freshman year.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, dude, why didn't you mention that straight away with me?
I don't know. I guess it just never came up. I mean, I guess it's just one of those things that, like, you know, it happened, and then I've just kind of, like, tried to live my life accordingly since then. I don't really think to tell each person I come across about it.
Yeah. So do you think that since that date you've been living for the Lord?
I do.
Uh-huh. And so if I gathered a bunch of your friends around and said, hey, what's the most important thing in his life? What would they say?
I mean, it's been tough coming to college. A lot of them would probably say school, but I would say that they would say that I was probably one of the churchiest kids in our bunch.
Okay, dude, I appreciate the chat.
No
and the exercise, because you've pretty much taken me in a goose chaser on this campus. All right, man?
All right.
Hey, nice chatting with you,
okay? Good talking to
you. Dude, see ya. Alrighty. If you were listening and you did follow that logic and you went, you know what, that's right, and it makes it all ring true, it's because you know it to be true. God has written this knowledge on your heart. You know that He exists, and you know that you've got a conscience, and you know that you've sinned against Him, and you have been trying to figure this thing out, and now you know what you deserve. You deserve God's wrath. But now you know that God is rich in mercy, and He sent His Son to die for you. And what you must do in response is you must repent, turn from your sins, and put your trust in Jesus Christ. And the Bible promises if you will come to Him lowly with a contrite heart and a broken spirit, He delights in that, and He will rescue you, and He will save you today. Today is the day of salvation. You do not know if you have tomorrow. Why would you reject this amazing offer of His marvelous kindness? Why would you reject it? Why would you wait? Don't. Repent and put your trust in Him today. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.